It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tonight, the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship game is being played. It's an event that brings memories of great round ball battles of the past. Today, we're going to remember the history-making Whippeal Class A champions from 26 years ago. The Frew Mill School in Shenango Township won an improbable state high school basketball title in 1988, becoming the only juvenile facility ever to do so. The team's coach, Robert Burnett, joins us to talk about that story and his newly published book about that memorable season called All the Way Down, Changing Hearts and Minds. Robert Burnett, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me, Paul. Glad to be here.
Well, this is an incredible story, and this book was just published, even though this took place 26 years ago. So why did it wait? Why did you wait so long to publish this book?
Yeah, it's interesting. After the season was over, everybody would keep coming to me, and they'd say, "You got to write a book about this. This is incredible." And I thought about it for maybe a few months, and I decided, "Well, I'm going to start writing the book." And as I wrote the book, my life is moving from one school to the next. I was a principal at that school. So as you keep transitioning to another school, you forget to, think about it. You got other things on your mind. But I finally went back to it and started writing again, and I finished it in 1998. So 10 years later, I finished a book. But I didn't get it published at that point in time. I just said, who wants to read this book? So.
And it turns out that a lot of people are interested in reading the book, and that it may be end up being made into a movie.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why I got it published, because the movie script, which I brought in sitting here beside me, the movie script is here, was out. And I was thinking, if the movie's made and I don't have the book published, that would be pretty stupid on my part. So my thought was get the book published, get it out there. And maybe both of those things would happen at the same time.
Now, you were already the principal of this institution, the Frew Mill School, after essentially retiring from coaching. Explain how you became the basketball coach for this one amazing season.
Interesting. I didn't retire. They told me when I applied for the job, the superintendent said to me, "Now you have to give up two things. One was coaching. No more coaching, because you're the principal and you need to worry about the curriculum and administrative duties." And the second thing, at that point in time, I had previously been the president of the local teachers union. And he said, "You have to give that up too." And he said, "If you don't want the job, you want to do what you're doing, you don't get the job." So I had to decide to take that over, take those things off my plate. Now, so many years later, the coach that I had hired, he was going through some rough problems in his life, and he had to take a year off. He wanted to take a year off. And so I convinced my boss to let me do it for 1 year. That'd be a smooth transition, I thought.
Well, how did you balance being the principal, with all that entails, with being the basketball coach, which is also a very large time commitment?
Well, I had an assistant principal, a lady that's passed away now, Gloria Ionta. She was my assistant. So I said, "Hey, you're going to have to keep me balanced, keep me focused, because, I'm going to coach, but I don't want to get so deep into coaching that I forget about the other things that have to go on." So that really helped me get through it.
You were also, as if all of these other things weren't enough, going through a painful divorce at the time, which you talk about in the book. Why did you feel that was important?
I really felt that, one, when you're writing a book, you really want people to feel for what you're saying. You know, there are people out there that are going through things that I was going through at that time, and maybe somebody read the book and say, "Hey, you can get through this. You can push through it. Don't go to bed and don't want to get out of bed for 2 or 3 days. Get up and fight for what you believe in, and find something to get you back in the right frame of mind."
We're talking with Robert Burnett, who was the coach of the Frill Mills School, who it's won an improbable state high school basketball title in 1988, the only juvenile facility ever to do so. How hard was it to keep young men like this, juvenile delinquents who were incarcerated, under control and focused on basketball?
Yeah. Let me correct you real quick. We won the WPIAL.
Whippeal,
Yeah, we won the Whippeal, the state championship. We didn't win that, but the team that we beat won it. So, but that's a whole nother story. But to keep – the hardest thing for me to do was to make these kids who have always felt like their lives, somebody was always coming down on them. It's either the police, the teachers, the principals, at times parents, they would be sexually and physically abused. You know, so for me, it was like, all right, we're gonna do things right. You're gonna listen to me. You're gonna pay attention to the details. And if you want to win a championship, which none of them had ever really won anything, this is the way you're gonna do it. And I predicted to them before the season began, you're gonna win our section, which was a very good section. You're gonna win the WPIL championship, and the third thing I said, and we're gonna win the state championship. And that was the goals I set for them.
Now, the knock that you always heard against your team was that all they could do was play street ball.
Right.
Why was it important to prove otherwise?
Well, because if you do things right, it's like if you're going to teach your child to drive a car, you don't have them, you know, doing wheelies or UEs or whatever people do. You don't do it the wrong way. And I think if anybody does anything the correct way, they're going to excel. And you have to be more correct than the people you're playing against. And I made them believe in that theory. And we were so good at it that, you know, people started watching how good we played defense, how we ran our offense, how we took care of the ball.
And the players, even though things were going well, they didn't always get along. And a couple of times, there were a couple of your star players who said they were quitting. How did you handle that?
I guess being a principal helped. Because now I had to use all the psychology that I could muster up. And also, you know, having two children of my own, you know, you had to work within that system as well. But I knew that there were problems that weren't really about basketball, but about their lives in general. And I think that was something that I had to pull those kids together. And there were times we were in the middle of a game and my star guard and the point guard, they would start arguing right in the middle of a game, yelling that back and forth at each other. You know, and I'd call timeout and say, hey, you know, come on, guys, let's go. We got to win. Winning's more important than your individual self.
But it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to get them to buy into it.
I've always had a knack for that. I started teaching at Aliquippa School District in 1969. And, you know, I started with some problem kids right off the bat. So I've been doing it for years and years and years. And it just became a natural practice for me to be able to get kids to respond.
We're talking with Robert Burnett. He was coach of the history-making WPIAL, or WPIAL, Class A champions from 26 years ago, the Frew Mills School in Chenango Township. And he's written a book about that memorable 1987-88 season called All the Way Down, Changing Hearts and Minds. All the Way Down was the team's saying. It was something the players came up with.
Right.
What did it mean?
One game, our second game, we're playing Immaculate Conception down in Washington, PA, and I called the timeout. I think the score was tied, it was tied. And one of my kids that was, you know, in a circle around us, and they were ready to go back out in the court, and he said, "All the way down, y'all." And I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" You know, because normally we'd say 1, 2, 3 Longhorns. And he
Which
says,
was your nickname.
Yeah. Our mascot was Longhorns, and he says, "All the way down," and the kids, they all said, okay, all the way down. And they went out and they won the game on a last-second shot. This stuck so big that as we went through the season, every time out we'd say it, before every game we'd say it. By the time, then the whole school was saying it. Then the people in the stands were yelling it, and it just grew and grew and grew. Now, you asked me what it means.
Yeah, right.
It means whatever you want it to mean, I guess, because I never knew. So I didn't know what it meant. Still don't.
So don't buy the book to find out what that means. But describe the contrast between your team, mostly inner city kids, mostly African American, mostly kids that were in trouble and were being incarcerated and they couldn't come and go as they pleased. Describe the contrast between that group and the teams you played against.
Well, it was huge. One, we had a girl on the team, by the way.
Yes, so that I was going to get to her. But
that was we were the only team. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, one girl, right.
We'll get back to that. But the difference was that I would always talk to my kids about, now listen, every game we play, even at home, you're going to feel like the referees are against you. Nobody likes you.
Well, your players were taunted. There were signs that said that they hung in the gym, go back to jail.
Yeah, yeah.
How did they react to that, and how did you deal with it as a coach?
I would always say to them that if you allow that to upset you and you react in a negative way, whether it's physically or with your mouth, that is what people want. People really didn't want a juvenile institution winning the WPIL championship. Trust me, they didn't want that to happen. And we were able to get through all of the little incidents that may have happened because I instilled in them, do not react. It's kind of like Martin Luther King or somebody.
Or Jackie Robinson.
Exactly. It was very similar to Jackie Robinson. I was Branch Rickey.
Well, and you, what kind of racism did you have to deal with from players and fans?
Well, it was always subtle, you know, and you know, people would probably say things more behind their backs than they would say to their faces. So it was more subtle than anything. But you know, I always knew, but I never reacted to it, and I just told my players, you can't do it.
How did winning impact these players and other young people at the institution?
The entire institution, as we kept winning and winning and winning, they wanted to go to the games, not the kids on the team, but the other population. And it was male and female at the time when I was there. And you had to meet these check marks or benchmarks to get out of the institution to make a trip to a game. So their behavior got so good that as we went on throughout the season, there were more and more kids coming to games. There would be, like, at times, just a regular game, there might be 15 or 20 kids that got off-grounds passes that didn't play. They just wanted to go see the game. And the entire behavior improved. So it was infectious. You know, the success bred more success.
And what are the players doing now?
Well, I have some contacts through Facebook. The one young man in the book, I can use his name, Michael Harris. He's one of the top sports marketing people in the country. He's had, as a matter of fact, Lance Moore, who Pittsburgh just brought in as a free agent. That's his client, you know, and Bruce Gretkowski and Willie Colon was his client. But he helped Kobe Bryant transition from high school to the NBA. So he's big time. The other young man, so it was almost like the Cain and Abel situation. The other young man, he did extremely well. Derek Myers, he went to CCAC Allegheny, lived with my mom for 2 years, and got his degree and his associate's degree. But he was All-American, won the national championship, got a full ride to Florida State, was starting point guard of Florida State. But he's had bumps on the road. And there's several other kids that have done extremely well.
And we're down to just a few seconds, sure. But back to that girl that you had on mm-hmm. the team. What about her?
That was a big transition for me because I'm thinking, like, okay, now what do you get dressed? So every time we'd go to a game, we would have to find a place for her to change her clothes, et cetera. But the biggest problem was I was more worried about a love relationship between her and one of the players.
But that didn't happen. As far as you knew.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I took care of it.
And you took care of a team that won the Whippeal Championship, the Frew Mills School in Chenango Township, which became the only juvenile facility ever to win a championship of that status. And we've been talking with the coach, Robert Burnett, his book about that story, all the way down, Changing Hearts and Minds. Robert Burnett, thank you so much for being with us.
And you're welcome, Paul. Glad to be here.
And thank you for listening. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.